Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. It's good to be back with you again. Glad you've joined us. Today, we continue in our study through the book of 1 John, and we're excited to bring the study to you, and we hope you're all joining us every Friday as we move through the pages of this revealing letter from the Apostle John. So without further ado, let's get underway, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We're in 1 John chapter 2. We started out there last week. We just got a few verses into it, and we're going to try to put the pedal to the metal a little bit and power through more verses this week.
Good luck.
We promised to get through at least one.
Yes. We're glad you've joined us on this edition. And 1 John is just a great little book. It has just a wealth of passages on assurance of salvation. Mm. If you're in doubt, if you've ever wondered about your relationship with Christ, this little book can give you the assurance that you need, can really help you stand on that solid rock of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And we see some evidences of those who have genuinely come to Christ, and we see some evidences of those who are playing games or playing the counterfeit game. And John really gets into that in verse 10. It says, of chapter 2, it says, "Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling." So whoever loves his brother. So the fruit of life, the fruit of this life that we have in Christ is love. Mm-hmm. The fruit of life and love, or the fruit of life and light is love. That's just the way it is. So when you've come to Christ, something has happened inside of you. You have changed at the core. Your heart is new. You've been given a new heart. You've been cleansed of all unrighteousness, and your heart wants to trust Jesus. That's where you're finding your life. That's where your center is now in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, the fruit of that is love for one another. And we see that. I mean, it's just one of those obvious transformations that takes place. We begin to love people that we didn't love before. We see this really in a very stark way when the gospel started going out to the Gentile world. And we see Jew and Gentile starting to stand together as one. Mm-hmm. I mean, here were two people groups that despised one another. They hated one another. Mm-hmm. And it was against Jewish law, for example, for a Jew to enter into a Gentile household. And yet when the gospel hit Jewish hearts and then it started hitting Gentile hearts, they started standing together as one in Christ. There was a love there, one for another, that wasn't there before. And why was that? Because both had been indwelt by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ coming to live in Jewish hearts, Jesus Christ coming to live in Gentile hearts. What's the result of that? Jews and Gentiles starting to love one another. Now, there were a group of people that were there in Ephesus, and they were saying, hey, well, we're a part of this fellowship too. And yet the fruit of their life was hate for their fellow man. So instead of unity amongst the diversity, there was division. There were lines that were being drawn, and they were saying, hey, if you're not on this side of the line, then you're not with us, and we're not going to love you. We're not going to treat you as the way God would treat you. And so there was hate there. And so he goes on in verse 11, it says, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. You're not saved. You're lost. And you're just expressing, manifesting the fruit of that lostness. So the fruit of darkness and death is hate. So we have the contrast. The fruit of light and life is love. The fruit of darkness and death is hate. And he goes on to say that if you're walking in darkness, you do not know where you're going because the darkness has blinded your eyes. And that just takes us right back to what John wrote about Jesus, or what Jesus claimed about himself in John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's walking in darkness, it's because they've never truly followed Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a stark contrast. Yeah. And John wants us to see that stark contrast. And he wants us to understand that if you've been saved, there's something that has happened to you that is going to bring about a love for other people that you've never, ever experienced before.
Yes. Well, we're glad, friends, that you're here for this basic gospel study. It's week 6 of our study through 1 John. You know, in addition to this study, we have many resources to help you understand the New Covenant, and you can find them in our online store at basicgospel.net. It's under the Resources tab, but we're only able to produce resources and series such as this because of your faithful support. We depend upon God working through you, His people, to keep this ministry of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ debatable to help you understand what's going on with the gospel and usher you towards spiritual growth and understanding. So check out all the resources available, and when you do, please click that donate button and help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming. We'll be thankful for your partnership. Now back to our study in this book of 1 John on Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. And as John writes, you know, he's giving this stark contrast, but then he wants to give some encouragement. I love the apostles' mindset, all of them. They want us to know what really has happened to us. They want us to know that our sins have been forgiven. They want us to know that we are standing on a solid rock. They want us to know that we truly are in relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And so in all of the apostles' letters, they always circle back to those basic essential truths. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're elementary. It's not that they're first grade truths that we graduate from. It's just the essential truths of what holds us together as the people of God. It's what we have in common. And so these next several verses, verses 12 through 14, are some words of encouragement to believers in Christ. And John sketches out kind of a progression of growth in these verses. He talks to children, he talks to young men, and he talks to fathers. And it's almost as if he is laying those out as the different stages that we go through as far as our relationship with God is concerned. So he starts out in verse 12, and he says, "I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." Now, that's great news. Yeah. And we all need to know that. And boy, as we've understood and we've kind of witnessed through the years, this is the most misunderstood reality and truth out there in Christendom. We're not sure if our sins are forgiven or not. But John is saying, hey, I want you to know that your sins are forgiven, that you're in Christ. Because you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, get that straight. And when you get that straight, when you rest in that finished work of Jesus Christ, then you're going to start to see growth happen in your life as a believer. You're going to start to see overcoming the things of this world, the temptations of this world, and you're going to start to find purpose in your life as a believer. And that's what he really sketches out. So he says to young children, your sins are forgiven. And if you're struggling with that, let today be the end of those struggles. Mm-hmm. Rest in the fact that Jesus took away your sins once and for all, and that when you received him, you received forgiveness of sins. Now, the next group he talks to, he says, I'm writing to you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Now, that's an interesting phrase, you know him who was from the beginning. And this word know is an intimate knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. It's not just head knowledge. This is relationship knowledge. And, you know, when I was a kid and was in first grade, and my teacher asked, what does your dad do? Well, I said, he sleeps all day. Well, as a little five-year-old, I didn't know much about my dad. I just knew that that man was my dad. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a lot about his character. I didn't know he was this incredible man of integrity. I didn't know that he loved my mom more than any person on this planet and would just really sacrifice his life for her well-being. I didn't know that about my dad. But as I grew up, and as I grew in my knowledge of him and in my relationship with him, all of those became apparently clear.
You figured out why he slept all day.
I did. I got to know Dad, and those qualities and values and characteristics started to rub off on me. Now, that's what he's talking about as far as fathers are concerned, that they have gotten to know God, his character, his essence, what he's really like, and they have aligned their minds with his. And so they have this sense of purpose in living that they didn't have before, that they want to reflect the very character of God out there in the world. So that's what it's talking about when, with fathers knowing him who was from the beginning. And then he writes to young men, I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. Now, we're all going to face these battles in life. We're all going to have these temptations. We live in this world. This world is anti-Christ. The world system is opposed to the things of God. We were rescued out of that world system. We still live in a body that of flesh where sin lives. That's not our identity, but that's still there. It's still knocking at the door. It's still tugging at our desires, our internal desires. And we struggle with that. And here John is saying, hey, you just keep growing in the Lord. You start with this understanding that your sins have been forgiven, and that word will start doing something in you where you will see on a day-to-day, month-to-month, whatever it might be, basis of overcoming the evil one. And this is so vitally important, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it really is, because this progression is what God is working in and through us by the Spirit, by Jesus himself. I mean, he always comes to us and says, you know, I love you so much, I gave Jesus, and now the sin problem has been taken away. And we go, wow.
Yeah.
And for a while, that's more than enough. And then we realize, well, there's life to be lived. And he says, you know, if you keep your eyes on me, you will discover that you are overcoming the things that used to overcome you. And then we're wow all over again. And then we live a little bit longer. And we see as we mature that the real point here is knowing God as God.
Yes.
In the same way that John quoted Jesus in John 17:3. I mean, this is eternal life, that they know you and Jesus whom you have sent. This isn't, it's not just beginner knowledge.
Yes.
It is the knowledge of a lifetime. As the more time we spend with Jesus, the better we get to know God himself.
Right. Now, and this overcoming the evil one is really simply learning to live out who you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. So God, as you read through the New Testament, You're never really called to engage in battle. You're simply called to take a stand, to take a stand on who you are. And as the enemy throws those darts at you, when all of those darts have been exhausted, you're still standing. Why? Because you've dressed yourself in the armor of God. You're simply living out who you are in Christ. Yeah. Now, it's easy for us to do that within the context of fellowship with one another in our church groups and in our Bible studies. But life is lived out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about basketball players. I think about Pistol Pete Maravich and how much time he spent in the gym just by himself, perfecting his jump shot, perfecting his dribbling skills, perfecting his passing skills. So you can do that when you're by yourself. Can you do it against a team of a bunch of 6'5" to 7-foot guys who are going to have hands in your faces and all of that? And what we discovered with Pete Maravich and Michael Jordan and all these great athletes is they were able to live out what they had become in practice. And that's what this is saying to us, that, hey, you know who you are as you go into these Christian settings, as you go into church groups, you get the encouragement from the pastor, you get the encouragement from the Bible, and that truth starts to sink deep within your heart and soul and mind. And then when you go out there and you're up against this world that is anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-you, are you going to be able to live out who you are? And as you grow and as this word gains strength and power inside of you, you see that you are. And boy, what an encouragement that is.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and he says, I write to you fathers again. I write to you children because you know the Father.
Notice
you,
that's Father, not him who's from the beginning.
Right.
It's beginning work.
Right. Absolutely. So we know that we're in the family.
Yes.
And that's about as much as we know. We know we're forgiven. We know we're in the family. That's a great place to
sure
start.
Sure is.
But that truth begins to really percolate inside of us, and it grows into something spectacular that becomes a manifestation of the very life of Christ as we live our day-to-day lives.
Indeed, and that's the truth that you hear each day on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and this is session 6 of our study through the book of 1 John. Glad you're with us today, everybody. And if you missed any of the sessions so far, or if you'd like to review them, you can listen again by visiting basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire archive is there. Each new session is added weekly. And again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. Hope you'll take advantage of that.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's keep going on. We're going to go into our next section, starting in verse 15, and the heading in my Bible reads this: do not love the world. And the passage is this: do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So we live in this world. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, and it's recorded in John 17, spends a lot of time in that prayer talking about the fact that we're in this world. And we're not going to be taken out of it until we die or until the Lord comes back. And so we need to learn to live as children of light in this world of darkness. And so that's what he's talking about here. Now, you're going to have people, you're going to encounter people who love the world. And what does that mean? What does it mean that they love the world? Well, the word here is agape.
Yeah.
So it's the same.
Think about that.
So it's the same word that is used to describe the love of God for you and me. Now, what does that mean? The word agape means to esteem, to love, and it indicates a direction of the will, and it indicates a finding of one's joy in something or someone. So when John is saying, do not love the world, he's saying, don't let the center of who you are be in this world system. Don't look to the world to find life. Don't look to the world to find meaning and purpose. To those who love the world, that's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's an unrepentant heart. For you and me, we have repentant hearts, regenerated hearts. So our hearts have moved away from the world where they once were centered, and now they're centered in Jesus. And that's where they will always be. Now, the flesh may try to pull us back to do some of the things that we did when we were in that world system, but internally we have the laws written and inscribed in our hearts and our minds by the Holy Spirit. And we have this desire to trust Jesus. That's what we want to do at the very core of who we are. So a believer, you're never going to love the world in terms of how John is writing it here. You're going to love Jesus, and you manifest that through faith, through walking by faith in Jesus. But he's saying, hey, you live in this world, be aware of what that this world system is all about.
Yeah, it's a very stark choice.
Yes.
You can only love one being this way. You can either love God in Christ this way, or you can waste that kind of love on the world.
Yes.
No middle ground.
No middle ground whatsoever. Now, he describes this world system. And when we see the world here, it's not planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It is a world system. And we were all once a part of that world system. We've been rescued from that world system by Jesus Christ himself. He executed that rescue through his death, burial, and resurrection. So this world system is made up of the desires of the flesh. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, we once lived to gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
We see it in the world today. We're putting our personal preferences. We talked about this on yesterday's broadcast, that the world today, people are putting their personal preferences, their feelings above truth. That's part of the world system. That's part of the deception of the lie of Satan. So it's made up of the desires of the flesh. It's made up of the desires of the eyes, what we see. And then the pride in possessions. We're somebody because of all the things that we have. The one who dies with the most toys is the most successful. That's kind of a world view of things. But man, we've been rescued from that.
Yeah.
It's not about the things that we have. It's not about the things that we see. It's not about gratifying the desires of the flesh. It's about being in relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That is the greatest reward. That is the greatest fulfillment. That's when we're the most us. If we want to flourish as human beings, there's only one way to do it, and that's in relationship with God. That's how we flourish as human beings. That's how we become our most selves.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
So what about this world system? Well, it's passing away.
Yeah.
It's going bye-bye. It's going to be out of here. And it's passing away along with its desires. Now, whoever does the will of God abides forever. Now, John defined that in his gospel and says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Yeah,
those who are in love with the world, they're going to pass away.
Yeah, that's all they've got.
That's right. Those who have come to truth, have come to Jesus, have received him, they're going to live forever. Why? Because that is the will of the Father.
Absolutely.
That's good news.
That is good news. That is very encouraging news. And guys, thank you for another wonderful study, another insightful study in this sixth session on 1 John. Friends, thank you for being with us today for this installment, and we're going to continue in the series next week at the same time, and I hope you'll be with us. In the meantime, if you have a question about anything you've heard, or in general for that matter, call our 24-hour listener line. That number is 844-322-2742, and it's available, as I said, around the clock, 844-322-2742, and leave a voicemail with your question. Again, 844-322-2742, or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. As we close today, please remember that this ministry is indeed listener-supported, and we need to ask your help to keep the good news of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please visit basicgospel.net and see all the ways that you can make your gift. And again, that's at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us, because this message is the one that needs to get out there, literally around the world.
Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, Billy and Greg, and for Coleman, for Stephen, for Michelle and Kim, for Vivian, for Rod, our director up in Canada, for all of us here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be here again with us on Monday for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.